Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen.
Joe. We tried to do that together because we were like trying to do dorks. Something different. Because we're different. We're weird, Joe.
Yes.
Weird is the new weird.
Oh, my God.
We had a weird weekend.
We had a great weekend. If you were driving anywhere in Houghton Lake, Michigan, and you happened to see a alien walking around, it wasn't me this time. It was Jen. She put the alien suit on.
Yes, I felt quite anonymous.
Anonymous.
And then I couldn't see because the mask was so hot. My glasses were fogging up, so I was bumping into people, and I was hoping I wasn't grabbing anybody inappropriately.
I'm sure
you... Well, there was a couple people I would like to grab, but I contained myself.
Okay.
Barely.
Did he have a British accent?
No, but he had brown eyes. Okay, anyways, moving on. So Joe and I are just coming off, fresh off the heels of the UFO Con.
Michigan UFO Con tag.
It was
awesome.
Amazing.
Our tag words or what?
I know. That's awesome. Before we get into our fun, how you beens?
Oh.
I want to give a couple shout outs to some of the people who just were so gracious to us and amazing, and we're just fantastic hosts at the Michigan UFO.
I am putting it out on the air right now that by next year's event, I'm going to have a damn pontoon boat.
Oh,
and I'm taking it with us.
Yes.
Because it is literally on the water.
It was beautiful. It was amazing. So first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to Deb and RJ for doing such an amazing event. They were fantastic. I love them. They have just beautiful spirits. I saw them kissing.
Oh, no.
Which made me happy because I love when people kiss. Yeah, I was like, and I love.
One thing about this event, and if you're going to put on an event, listen to this few seconds of me ranting, is the signage. Mm-hmm. Was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They had signs at every street corner leading into the building, yep. And then they had the giant, well, the marquee out front, mm-hmm. And then inside the building, they had signs, vendors this way, you know.
You knew exactly where you're going. It was just great graphics. Mm-hmm. We have to give a shout out to Mike Smith because he did
a great,
amazing job. Really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Like every speaker, I should say, got a sign at their table, so you know who they were, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, you could walk by the table and they're all uniform, so you know this is his person.
Yeah,
this person.
Yeah.
And each vendor and everybody got their little placard, and mm-hmm. on the back of the placard was the schedule,
which was genius, Mike. Yeah. You're a genius. We just have to give you a shout out, double shout out to Mike. Yeah, because that helped, because a lot of people were at our booth, you know, shopping and talking, and then, you know, saying, well, what time is it and when's the next speaker? And we could just flip it over and it was there. So that was genius. Also give a shout out to Mist for all her help. She was so gracious and helpful. And
we lost her Sunday morning when we went to get our banner. We couldn't get up to the fourth floor. So she went to get the code and me and Jen knew the way in.
We got the back way because we got skills.
Yes.
We ended up getting up there, but... You know, she did a great job. We also wanted just to give, you know, props to our friends who are there and just amazing people who just fill our head with so much knowledge and thought. So Steve Ward.
The fabulous Steve Ward.
Thanks for letting me look at the stars with you. John Tenney, who sat next to us, our neighbor, who entertained us. And I just think he's fabulous. If you guys haven't gone to his website, go to his website.
A great conversation with him. Just,
weird
it was
lectures.
So cool just sitting there talking.
Yeah.
BSing with them all day.
Yeah. And Andrea Perrone, who we see all the time, thank you for leading us in the UFO search outside and singing.
And as you're listening
voice.
To this, we will be with Andrea Perrone at the Mid-Michigan Paracon.
Yeah, we're going to see her. Bill from MUFON, who was amazing.
Konkoleski.
Yeah, I can never say his last name. Sorry, Bill. But he was there. Amazing knowledge and great speech. Mike Smith, who did all the signage. Nick Redfern, who I got to catch his speech, was so interesting.
I didn't get a chance to listen to him.
He had some really cool pictures of some all black helicopters over his apartment building.
Yeah.
Like, now normally you have to have a tag on the
on the
back. These were completely blacked out over his apartment. Different ones too. So that was cool. And then our friends, you know, Beth and Barry, we always run into them, and they're amazing mediums, and they were busy all day as well. We're all the mediums, Exe, our friend Exe, and Christy Roberts was there. Just such cool people.
It was a great event. I had a blast.
And to all the people who came to the event, you know, and shopped at our tables and told us ghost stories and UFO stories, really appreciate
there was everything. Something that happened there
oh, yes.
that never happened to me before.
Uh-oh, what was it?
You know, I always have to find the hot tub. And they had a water slide, folks. Giant water slide in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I went down about 10 times.
Awesome. It was so much fun. Okay, so here's the funny. I go in the pool area, right? It's 10:30 Friday night? I don't know. Whatever. Nobody's there. Nobody's in there at all.
Yeah.
Completely. Joe was doing something. I forget what you
I went to Walmart.
You went to Walmart. I went to the pool room. I'm in there by myself, right? And I'm like, okay, so I see the slide, and I was like, I didn't want to get my hair wet or my makeup wet because I would look like a drowned raccoon, you know, because I wear 8 tons of makeup. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go down the slide, and when I get into the pool, I'm just going to stand up real quick, you know. So go down the slide, woo, spinny water, woo, you know, I'm like sitting up so I don't get my hair wet. Go into the pool at the bottom, hit the bottom because I was like, okay, I'm just bounce up and stand up and wrenched my ankle. Ended up splashing water all over myself anyway. So
yeah.
I probably walked down the hall with like makeup running down my face. Anyways,
good times.
Good times. Good times.
So, okay.
Anyways, okay. Soapbox.
Before we talk to Scott, I know that you've had a lot of activity in your house, and you were talking about doing something at the house.
Okay. You know, guys, I love to update you. So if you guys are listening and driving or cleaning house or whatever, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to talk. So I had people over to investigate my house. You know, I've had activity in there for a while. And so it just, you know, it just had some really interesting things. People felt people walking behind. We were sitting in the dining room, and somebody could feel a presence of a lady walking from the bedroom to the other bedroom. And when we were in my bedroom where the ghost appeared, they were picking up on the angry older woman spirit. They were saying there was 3 spirits there. One of a young man who was murdered at Burger King on Phillips. So I don't know. I got to do some research and see if that ever happened.
Yeah.
Or how, or the, what there is to that, but.
That's odd because it's like 4 miles away.
But it happened in the 80s. So, but said he travels
the same in
the up and down the, yeah, but the distance, or they said that he travels up and down the corridor. So he could be going to,
yeah.
You know, this is the thing. Okay. So I think spirits come to people who are open to knowing that they're there. You know what I mean?
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
And we've also heard that distance doesn't matter because their spirits, they can blink over here.
Yeah. Like attracted to energy or something like that. So interesting. One thing that did happen, I was standing against the wall when we first got in there. I got super hot and super dizzy. Like I was going to faint.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, not like, okay, I feel woo-woo. It was like, whoa, I had to sit down. I like literally slid down the wall and had to sit on the floor. But they said we could see shadows. And then last weekend, no. Yeah, when we came home, Sunday night, I woke up, I had a nightmare. I just fell asleep and something was standing over me and it had a creepy clown face.
Okay.
This is I'm pretty sure I was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in that sleep paralysis type state, and it was very scary, and it was standing over me, and I'm like, stop, you're scaring me, and I woke up, and I was like, panicked, and I had to turn the light on. So, you know, it might have been a dream, but, you know, it's like that whole thing of knowing that something is in your, you know, in your safe space.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, that was it. And I'll keep you guys updated if anything else
happens.
But I have barely been home. I mean, I'm not even home long enough to like, hey, ghosts, what's happening, ghosts? So they're probably just in there like, hello, we're here. Hello, we want some attention. They can come to your house for a while, Joe.
You know, I keep hearing a bang on my window.
Really?
And I need to get my butt out there and see if the rose bush is like smacking the window or something. I don't know. But anyhow, we had a great time at the UFO Contact. And we got to meet Scott, and we had a great sit down with Scott.
Yeah, Scott Lambert.
Yeah.
He's a fellow podcaster as yeah. well. So just a neat person. He had a great, you know what? I always, whenever you and I interview somebody, mm-hmm. I always listen to their voice. You know what I mean? Like, I know to. It's weird, but oh. I know, but I'm like, you know, there's some people who just have that voice that is just interesting to listen mm-hmm. to. You know, it's not like you're talking like this the whole time, but you know, it's like, you know, people are, just,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just weird.
All right. So let's get into the interview here. For a change, let's play the intro to his show for the interview.
Coming to you in Houghton Lake, Michigan.
The beautiful Houghton Lake, Michigan.
It's gorgeous.
I've never been here. And I look out the window and I'm like, that lake's big.
It's ginormous. But anyways, we have Scott Lambert with us today. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you guys?
We awesome. Are amazing. So Scott comes to us from Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk.
That's us.
.com.
Yeah.
And I've heard his voice on so many shows, and he's sitting here talking to you, and I walk up and I'm like, hey, I know. And he gave me a sticker. I'm like, oh, my God.
He totally fanned out for a minute. Oh.
That's the funniest thing about Houghton Lake here. I said the same thing when I got here. I've been telling my better half, Amber, who's part of the show also. Like this whole summer, it's been just a crazy summer with the show and other things going on in our lives, projects, and then the working life, too. And just trying to keep a household together.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I just want to go. Literally, I told her, I'm like, I just want to go somewhere where there's some water yes. and stare at it. Just stare water at it for therapy. A little while.
Yeah.
And I got here and I forgot. I didn't realize how close. Like, this thing sits right on the lake here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I actually did go out there for a little while earlier and just did nothing. Had my coffee and just sat there and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm staring at water. Don't talk to me. I've been waiting a whole summer for this.
Exactly.
Leave me alone. So it's really nice.
You weren't the naked one out there, were you?
No, not me. No, it wasn't me at all. No, who you're talking about?
Sure, it wasn't. He was getting one with nature.
Yes.
That's what we're all about.
I was getting the same vibration as the world around me. No, it's beautiful here though. It's really nice. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
But
so
cold as hell.
Wow. Yeah. Like this morning, because I came up from home this morning, which is a couple of like 2.5 hours south from here, and I was like pants or shorts. And I obviously opted for the shorts, and I'm kind of regretting that now. So, yeah, hopefully I don't freeze solid here over the night.
Yeah, it was, what, 37? Seven this
morning.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
We're like, wait a minute, this is like summer. And then, like, no, we're into fall already.
Welcome to northern Michigan.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You want variety, you got it.
That's right.
Excellent.
That's what's great about living where we do in Ohio and you know, southern Michigan. You could have four seasons in one day.
Yeah. It's the same for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we live, you know, where we're from is like what they would refer to as the Metro Detroit area.
Yeah.
In the suburbs. And yeah, it's like, it has happened, especially in the last couple of years, where we've experienced like a 60 degree day, and then it snows the next day.
Yeah.
And then it rains the next day. I mean, this has happened in 1 week. People like make fun of that and poke fun all the time, but I'm like, no, it's really true. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see that happen. But you know, again, you want variety, you get it here. It's a sportsman's paradise, and and if you love Michigan, that's what you love it for.
Yeah.
And very active paranormal activity everywhere you go. This morning, they said, you know, we woke up and the sun's coming up. It's nice out.
Yeah.
But Andrea Perone said that she was out on her deck and saw a UFO over the lake. I'm like, see, stuff happens all the time.
Well, you know, with lakes too. Now, we talked earlier before we were doing this thing, we were having a conversation, and I told you guys flat out, I'm like, you know, 20, 25 years of doing this stuff. And I mean, I by no means am I would well, there are no professionals in this field, but, you know, I don't consider myself some type of, like, you know, like, hardcore active investigator. So when I say 20, 25 years, that's, like, you know, a lot of gaps in that stuff, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's there, right? And whatever. So, but over all those years, and there has been a lot of research in that time, I can count on literally, like I told you guys, like, one hand, maybe bleeding into two hands, how many things I would consider anomalous. And one of those things which comes to mind ties right in with what you just said.
Yeah.
Actually, Amber, who was here a few minutes ago, she's part of Ghostly Talk now too. We and I'll make it very brief, but she's from Grand Haven, Michigan, which is, like, you know, if you go any further west in Michigan, you're in Lake Michigan.
Right, yes. Exactly. We were there.
Yeah, it's beautiful there. It's a wonderful town. I was over there. This is before she moved over here with me. I was over there visiting, and we went and had dinner with a friend, and we were at his house. And I remember vividly the one good part was I was watching Police Academy. You know, we had a nice meal, and I'm laying on the couch like, okay, man. And they were on the patio of his house, just, you know, having cigars and just kind of just living it up a little bit. And I get yelled at, like, get out here right now. There's something in the sky, right? And I'm like, okay, fine, run out there. And, I mean, you know, you hear all these descriptions of UFOs. And before this night, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, and I've always had an interest and fascination with UFOs and aliens and whatnot, or whatever you want to call them. But it really takes you, I think, to experience something like that, like we did, where we sat there watching something in the sky that was several colors, like whites and greens and reds, you know, very Christmassy. But it was making these aeronautics I've never seen out of, like, regular aircraft. Like, literally, like, I was seeing, like, a skateboarder on a half pipe.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
making moves like that, and then erratically moving around. And we watched this for a good 5 minutes, to the point where we were able to get a video recorder and videotape it. So I'm like, man, we got the proof. You know, it isn't all about evidence to me, but it's nice to get it.
Oh, yeah.
We got the evidence. We got a video of this thing. And after this whole thing happened, because it disappeared and reappeared a couple times, when it finally just seemed to vaporize and go away, we're like, look, you know, we were trying to get an idea. And we have, you know, me and my friend Tom had a pretty good sense of you know, like, depth.
Yeah.
Right? So we went out, and we're like, about 2 miles, two and a half miles possibly. We get out there, water. There's no way I can say that that's 100% true. We only saw it from what we saw. But we had a good idea, given the horizon and knowing the area we were in. We went to the area, and we're like, this is, you know, it was an actual, like, I don't even know what you call it. It'd be like a little, like, a lock. Not a lock. It'd be like some dip off of the lake itself. Like, okay. You know, an ingress. I don't know. Alcove. Let's call it an alcove.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and it was a very large area where boats were parked at and whatnot. And there we are looking up. So the point of this whole thing, though, is just that. Like, you know, yeah, water, I think, has something to do with it, too. Not saying that's the answer, but coming out of something like that, I gained a completely different appreciation and perspective on these, because I've watched a million UFO videos. Mm-hmm. I've read a million UFO stories from people, testimony, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, they're all seeing this thing, but then I saw it.
Yeah.
And I came into work that Monday going, they're like, so what'd you do this weekend, Scott? I'm like, I saw a UFO on Saturday night. And they're like, okay, Scott, maybe you should get that first cup of coffee in your first hair. Chill out, you know. But, I mean, I was excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, I've been on the other side of that, where there's somebody going, I saw a UFO. I'm like, yeah.
You're like,
cuckoo. You know, which is, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, now that I'm older, I'm like, no, that's, I want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly.
But I was that person. And I was going to anybody. And this is my professional life. This is, like, my career. And I didn't care. I'm like, I saw a UFO. And then we watched a video.
Yeah.
And that gave me even deeper perspective on this, because I'm like, the video was perfect. We were right there. So we play the video back, and we're like, you hear me going, okay, so it's this date, this time, trying to, like, really timestamp it the best we can. And, you know, bless his heart, our friend Tom, he's gone now, but he was trying to focus in, and we got a couple of blips.
Yeah.
And it looked like a lot of the videos that I've seen, where somebody's just, they're in the heat of the moment, they're nervous, they're freaking out.
Yeah.
And they're trying to just document something. And it looked no different than a lot of the video. I'm like, well, damn it, dude, I believe this.
Yeah.
I believe
this. You've seen it with your own
eyes. After that night, and that was over 10 years ago, I'm like, there's no doubt in my mind now. I mean, I was pretty sure before, but there's no doubt in my mind now. I've seen something. I can't deny this. I can't forget what I know. So that's it. It's as simple as that. So when you come to a place like this, I mean, this is just like, I mean, I'm sure there's a handful of people here. They're very skeptical of this thing. And hey, I'm skeptical also of a lot of things too. I want to see evidence. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you finally experience something like that, and it's one of the most concrete things I think I've ever seen studying, you know, what I would consider fringe sciences or the paranormal. It's one of the most rock hard concrete things I can. I saw this. I don't care if you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Right. I saw it. Yeah. Right. So yeah, that just made half an hour on that, but that's like, you know.
But when you talk about, you know, videotaping and that,
yeah.
There's so many times where people will videotape and they say, it told me, or how do I put this? They sensed that the UFOs didn't want to be videotaped, so it was messing with their camera. But I'm like, well, if you look at a camera, it's constantly trying to focus. And if you're trying to focus on a dot, that thing's just going to keep crying.
It's
and
just,
that's why a lot of them
go
are out of focus.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because, you know, I don't want to say I'm a pro photographer anymore, but I do a lot of photography stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I already know in my mind, if I see one, bam, it goes on manual and all that. Mm-hmm. Manual focus.
Yeah, put keep it from trying to adjust.
But you know when if it does happen, mm-hmm. I'm not going to remember any of that stuff.
You're going to be so excited.
And that's the human condition, the fight or flight thing. Like, you know, you freak out. And you think you're preparing yourself for this, and you're preparing yourself for this. And, like, even that thing I was talking about, like, our experience, like, we talk about this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. We should know exactly what to do. Yeah. But I'm in the middle of, like, halfway through police academy. I mean, I'm not thinking about UFOs. And here they come, get out here now. Yeah. Like, whoa, whoa, you know? and go get the camera. Oh, get the camera. We forgot about the camera. Oh, my God. So, I mean, even those details, like the camera.
Yeah.
We should do that. That's a great idea. Get the camera. So, yeah, I think it's just your mind spins up. The hamster goes into overdrive on the wheel. And, yeah, I think that's what happens. So and the more I see those videos, I'm like, dude, okay, so they saw something.
Yeah.
They saw something, man. You know, so, you know, I think that's what makes – in studying all this stuff, like, you know, and I mean, like Tenny here, who's next to you guys, he just was talking a little bit about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of lump all this stuff like kind of into like one giant silo now. Because one of the things I've learned about doing ghostly talk all these years was the one thing that Doug and I, one of the old guys from the show, the guy who started the show, as a matter of fact, Doug's the man. Over many years of doing the show, the quest we went on, we learned that we were on, was not proving anything really. But more or less proving how all this stuff is kind of related.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The glue.
Mm-hmm.
And John kind of laid into that a few minutes ago when he was talking too, like how this stuff is related, right? And that's to me, I think, are we going to prove anything like conclusively, I think, in our lifetimes? I personally, not to sound pessimistic, I don't think that's going to happen. However, I think my direction still is more going towards how is this stuff? So I'm always, whenever I see things, weird stuff, whatever it may be, I'm trying to find a way to draw lines to them. You know, that's the most fascinating aspect of this field to me. That's why I like going to all these different conferences, not just one thing.
And it was interesting, the thing that John Tenney said was how your view of what happened is correlated to how you feel of, like, religion and stuff like that, because he mentioned about...
It's your perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You heard so many times where aliens are abducting, and then he talked about the demons abducting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because the way the person believed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's what... A lot of it does come down, I think, to theology, you know, and like one of the smartest things, one of the most brilliant things I think I ever learned was in college, of all places. Imagine that. I did take for an elective. This is like 1847, something like that. It was many years ago.
Knocked out on the wood tablets. Yeah.
I had to take a myth, magic, and folk religion course. I looked at the thing and they're like, well, you need an elective. I'm like, that looks cool.
Yeah.
And the very first day the professor walks in and he goes up to the board and he's like, now we're going to talk about a lot of religion here. We're going to talk about the mechanics of religion and how this stuff works. He's like, and what I want you guys to understand is one thing. And he goes to the whiteboard, which was a new thing back then.
Yeah.
We're like, what is this white thing?
Yeah.
Where's the chalk? Right.
Where's the chalk?
And he takes the marker and writes, why me?
Okay.
With a question mark.
Yeah.
And that was the belly for that whole semester for us, because everything we got into, people's interpretations from all over the world, all these different cultures and beautiful societies we have on this planet, they all, with their religion or their theology, whatever you want to call it, They were all doing the same thing, trying to answer the question, why me? Whether it's several gods or one god, they were all trying to answer that question, which goes right into what you said.
Yeah.
It sculpts your perception of things. So, yeah, we all see stuff differently. You see stuff differently. I see stuff differently. We could look at a red box. If somebody said a red box over, like, just as a red box, and we didn't, like, we weren't together, and you looked at it, and I looked at it, give us all the details.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have a lot of different details, like things that we see, because we see with different eyes. We see with different minds.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what makes this stuff very trippy.
Oh, of course.
So have you been back to that location since then?
Oh, yeah.
Anything?
No.
Wow.
Damn it, man.
It's not an exact science.
No.
I mean, that was the one time we saw that, and it was a game changer for me.
Everybody.
You know, I mean, not just with UFOs, but just studying this stuff in general, like how I feel about things. And as I alluded to earlier, you know, I would scoff. Like, oh, look at another UFO video. This person's out here in the middle of a field with something. I mean, and I literally did that. I'll own it. I was wrong 100%. But you got to live it to understand it.
Yes.
And I did. And I'm like, man, I was so wrong about that. So now I look at those videos that I see now with totally different eyes. And I'm happy to do that now. I'm glad I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
It's like our ghost hunting stuff.
Yeah.
I always said it's the weirdest thing when you're in a room that you know is no electricity in. And you have a meter in front of you that's going crazy by asking questions in the thin air. And this thing is responding to you.
It's interesting, isn't it?
You don't actually... It's cool. Yeah, the feeling you get inside is like, okay, is this really happening?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, there's got to be something to this.
But that's the cool, that is why I think sometimes keeps us alive, that hope that there's something that you can't explain, you can't understand, and it sparks something in you that you just want more of. It's kind of addicting, don't you think?
It is. Well, I think even... I'll try to make this as eloquent as I can. I think even there's not gonna be any nice ways.
Just let it out.
I think even the shallowest of people still have a thirst for knowledge. You know what I mean? It may just be a different kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. So I think as a species, especially the people in this resort / hotel this weekend, we come here thirsty for knowledge, but a different kind of knowledge. You know. Some people thirst just for something to make their career better or make them a better person. Like, you know, I need to fix my brain, or find out how to cope with something. So there's knowledge that comes with that. So when you're dealing with the fringe and when you're dealing with UFOs and ghosts or entities, the paranormal in general, this is a different kind of knowledge, and we're thirsty for that. And I think that just carries over into anything as we are as people.
Yeah.
We're thirsty for knowledge. That's how you live. If you just think about that for a second. If like today, you can't learn anything anymore, right? You die.
Yeah.
Not immediately.
Not physically, but mentally.
Because we're a constantly adapting, you know, machine. Our bodies and our minds are constantly adapting. And for the better or for worse of it, it's adapting quicker and quicker and quicker every day. We have to. I mean, I know in my professional life and my personal life, I'm always having to adapt and not conform is a bad word, but adapt, you know, and try to understand things, because that's what I think the mind does. We're always trying to learn. I think that's what a healthy person should do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is, you know, always be asking questions, you know, trying to find out about things, learn things, find out how machines work. I'm an engineer by trade, so I'm always like, okay,
what's the mechanics?
How does this thing? Let's break it and see how, you know, let's break it and see how we can fix it. That's how you understand how a machine works. You break it, then you fix it.
Right.
So I think that idea alone right there, it's the foundation of why we're here this weekend.
Yeah.
It is, because there's something we're curious about, and we want to know more about it. We're thirsty for more knowledge about that, and that's a beautiful, healthy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? And a lot of people want to go to places where they feel accepted and are open.
Oh, dude.
And feel safe to talk about this. Yeah, you know, like, some people, like, just can't talk to anybody about it, you know?
You can't. You know, and camaraderie is a beautiful thing. That's one of the things, you know, when Doug and I started doing Ghostly Talking, like, that was like 1857, it feels like now. That was like 2001, 2002. It was a weird thing, because I remember, like, okay, well, I'm interested in this thing. I've had this interest in this thing since I was a kid. I wasn't out there doing anything, but I was reading books and having really interesting conversations with my grandmother about interdimensional entities. My grandma was super cool. And then I just got to a point in my life where I'm like, I really want to explore this more. But who the hell? Like, this is crazy. What are you thinking?
Back then, you would go to the library.
Get a book.
The librarian, do you have any books on UFOs? Yeah, they're in the corner, all the way down.
Yeah, I mean.
Hidden away.
Yeah. I mean, bless Yahoo Groups. I'll give them the credit they deserve. If it wasn't for Yahoo Groups, I would have never met the first group of people that I met up with that said, yeah, I want to go somewhere and take pictures at nighttime and see if we can get something on film or record something. That's how I met Doug initially from, you know, where we started doing Ghostly Talk together. That's how I met the guy. It was on Yahoo Groups.
Oh, okay.
And we just had a really knack to chat with each other and had a lot of fun talking with each other. And we were both obviously interested in the same thing. But I mean, that to your point, we had this community, this little group of people. We all hooked up and we all had these really, we had the same interests, right? You need that.
Oh, yeah.
You need a support system, I think. You know, that's one of the things I think people in general too, not to jump on anybody's case, but I think one of the biggest problems, the drawbacks we have as people is our self-esteem. I think instinctually we don't have a lot of it. And it takes a lot of years, like some of the most outgoing, brilliant people I've seen, whether they're famous or not famous, they're people that have had to work at it for years. Like they've just spent the time like doing podcasts or stuff like that. 20 years ago, I had a really bad lisp. You know, and it took me years to, like, after hearing people say, yeah, I have a lisp, I'm like, what? You know? But it took me years to, like, develop that and work that thing out, right? Yeah. And I think I still have a, I don't know, whatever. But that's the whole thing. I think it takes people time to develop that. You can't do it on your own, though, in general, I think. You need people that you have to work with. It's just cool to exchange ideas, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're just by yourself, and there are people that just work on their own. I mean, that's great. But I've always, like, that was when we first started really getting active and doing this stuff, you know, studying ghosts and UFOs, that was like half the fun was meeting with people you barely knew and you got to know each other through these kind of discussions.
Yeah.
About the weird stuff, about Fringe, about UFOs, about ghosts and stuff like that. And I developed some, to this day, I have some beautiful relationships with people that started in parking lots in the middle of winter, drinking at the time very new pumpkin spice. I know it's like the basicest thing ever now, but back then it was like, man, pumpkin spice, this is really good, this is like a latte thing or whatever. I mean, that's what we were doing, and that's what made it really fun. So that camaraderie, that thing we're talking about, it's super important, I think. You need that, and that's why this stuff like this has to keep
happening.
Yeah, and
it grows every day. I mean, and I know you deal with it also when people come up. So what do you do? Well, I have a podcast.
Oh,
that's a fun conversation.
What are you talking about?
Is that taped live?
Yeah.
Like, no.
What are you talking about?
Is that on YouTube?
Oh, we talk about ghosts and stuff. I've got a story. You know, it's like.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you'd start and conversations get better and better. And you're like, this is awesome.
We've had people come to the booth and have never told their story. I've never said this to anybody.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's crazy that they're, you know, come to these things to finally tell their story. Yeah. You know,
we
like
had a gentleman this morning.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that Doug and I did, we're still very proud of it. When we, the original run of Ghostly Talk we did in the 2000s, is that what you'd call it?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the 10s right now, right?
Yeah.
During the O's.
During the O's. Okay. The O's. One of the things we did with the show, it was our goal was to have anybody on that we wanted to have on that had a story they wanted to talk about, whether they had a book or not or whatever it might be. And our number one goal with that was always to put them, dare I say, give them a safe space.
Yeah.
It was the original safe. No, it wasn't the original. But it was a place where we wanted to put people at and say, tell us everything. We're not going to judge you. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your story. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear, you know, your ideas. And that led us down some pretty interesting roads that I'm really happy I took.
Yeah.
I went down those roads. And we had people summoning ships over our studio. Like, things like that would happen. Like, we're going to have the ship come over your studio right now. Okay. And literally, this happened one night with a gentleman. And he's like, okay, it's coming over right now. And we're like, okay, well, there's a roof.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it's over there right now. And he's like, well, how do you feel? I'm like, well, I gotta pee. I mean, I actually felt like I had to urinate, like right at that. It was weird. Maybe it was my nerves. I don't know. But those people, like that gentleman in particular, that was the one that pops in mind, because after the show, he's like, you know, guys, thank you so much for having me on, because you didn't ridicule me.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm not trying to, like, look how great we are. It's not like that at all. But it's something I wish more people would do, where they would just, like, look, we're going to just lay this thing down. Like, we talked before we started recording this thing earlier, and I said, look, we just kind of turn the tape on now. We're way more laid back now than we used to be.
Oh, yeah.
We just turn the tape on now, and whatever comes out, comes out. And that's where it's still that idea of this judgment-free zone or safe space, whatever you want to call. That's where, I mean, if you're doing a paranormal podcast, that should be the most, like, open... Yeah. To me, like, this is, let it all out. Right. And if people are brave enough to come on there and talk, that's hard for some people to do.
Oh, it is.
Believe me, we had some people that were very nervous, and it was our job to make them comfortable and say, look, we're not going to beat you up here. That's not what our job is here. We want you to have fun, number one. We want you to be relaxed, number two. We want to hear your story, number three. That's what it's all about to me. And that's what it is still to this day with, you know, doing this stuff, kind of coming back and doing it again.
Yeah.
Is people with stories should want to come up and talk about this, that they shouldn't feel clammed up and keep it inside. That's no good for anybody.
Oh, no.
It just eats you up.
Yeah.
It's a cause of cancer.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrible.
It is. We've had people who said, you know, I was seeing spirits at a very early age, and my mm-hmm. mother said, don't you ever tell anybody. Don't ever tell anybody. They'll think you're crazy. And, you know, it's so open now, especially with the advancement of television and TV shows that showing, you know, like a paranormal state or psychic kids, that it's okay to be different and to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that may be one of the positive outputs from those shows.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm not going to...
We'll go in that rabbit hole later.
But I've never really thought about that, though, too. That's a really interesting idea.
It's just society accepting a little bit more because people are starting to understand it more, understand that there may be a sixth sense.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I like to talk about, and I've had a lot of conversations about, like, this over this topic over the years, and, like, for like my thing was when I was young, I was scared of the boogeyman like anybody was. And I remember I would freak out, have a nightmare, whatever it might be, see something in my room in the dark. You know, your mind is doing all kinds of crazy, especially when you're young, and all these chemicals are just firing up for the first time. And I'd freak out, and my mom or my dad or both of them would run in my room and say, I'd be like, oh, my God, the boogeyman's under my bed. And they'd be like, look, there's no ghosts. There's no aliens. There's no boogeyman. There's nothing. Now, they're just doing their job. They're being really good parents, right? But this has been a theory, and I say theory very loosely over many years, saying this is just by doing that over an amount of time, I think what happens is that does build a filter in your brain. It creates a filter. It wires you over. So when you get older, well, you have all these filters in place from your childhood. So, yeah, I don't see anything. What are you talking about? You may not be sensitive. Like I said earlier, I'm as psychic as this table behind us. And I'm open about that, but I'm trying. Like, you know, John isn't here. Like, one of the most compelling things he said, you know, in his talk a few minutes ago was just that. He's like, the universe is out there asking you if you want to play.
Yeah.
And I mean, I literally looked at Marnie, our friend. I'm like, oh, man. You know, and that really is what it is. If you want to direct your energy at this stuff, then you can play. But if you just want to leave the filters up and just go on about your life, which is fine.
Yeah.
Do it. If you want to do your thing, that's perfectly great. That there's a place for you to do that too. But there's a group of people here that want to play. I love what he said about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so compelling to hear that. And that's really, I think, what it is. Because it is a matter of just directing your energy in one way. And we're all directing our energy in a certain way right now. And that is to try to understand and quench our thirst for this knowledge that we have.
Yeah. And we're all going to be out on the beach later with
I'll be clothed,
Andrea.
I promise.
Yeah.
Andrea?
With Andrea Perrone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to look for UFOs. We're sky watching later.
Oh, wow, that's going to be so cool.
And then Steve Ward, who's here. I don't know if you've
Steve's
met
a great dude.
Yeah,
love him.
But Steve Ward's here with his night vision goggles, and we're going to check them out.
Yeah, Steve's
later.
A man. Really good dude.
Yeah,
cool.
We like Steve. Yeah. He's fun. He's very funny. Tell us a little bit about some paranormal experiences you've had.
Okay. As I said before, there's only been a couple. The one that really comes to mind for me that's stuck in my craw for many years We've got some evidence we talked about earlier, and that's a whole different thing, right? Because that's just, I was actually looking at my phone earlier. We were thinking, we were talking about that. Yeah. I'm going to work that out with you guys. There was some friends of mine that were renting a house in Mount Clemens, Michigan, which is like not too far from where I live. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours south from where we're at right now. And there were some musician friends of mine. We all play in bands and stuff. And they called me and they said, "Hey, Scott, you know, we know you do this sort of thing. We're living in this house, but we're getting ready to move out. We just can't deal with it anymore."
Oh.
Like, deal with what? They're like, "Well, it's crazy. There's all kinds of stuff going on here." So I'm like, "Well, do you want me to come by?" They're like, "Yeah, yeah, come on." And they're friends of mine. So I'm like, "Oh, come by for a visit. This will be cool." So I came over there with some, you know, a few devices. You know, the older I get, the less gear I bring.
Oh, yeah.
The more, I mean, I've gotten to a point now where I literally just will go somewhere and just walk around. Because if something's going to happen, it's my experience.
Yeah. Right.
If I get a picture of it, if I get some audio, whatever, you know, if I get scratched, I don't know. I mean, anything, that's great. But really, for me, I've gotten to the point with this thing where it's just like, it's my experience, right? So I came there with a couple of camera, maybe a little recorder, and we did a couple of things, but we more or less just, I wanted to hear what they had to say about it. So that's what made things really interesting that night, because we were in the living room of this house, and we were just chatting. They were telling me about things, and you know, it was a nice house. It's an older style house in Mount Clemens. And we're just we're carrying on with a conversation, and all of a sudden, up my right leg, I literally felt what would feel like fingertips.
Oh.
Just kind of start at the ankle. I'm trying to stay on mic here. Start at the ankle and just literally run there. Not like a tap, but just kind of a drag. And I'm not trying to be creepy either. This is what went down.
Uh-huh.
My thigh, right up to, you know, middle of my back right here, side of my body. It was so prevalent that as I was talking, I'm like, "Oh, blah, 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 blah. You guys feel that?" And they're like, "What?" I'm like, and it was happening as I'm like, and it wasn't like some weird, like, you know, you have weird muscle spasms. Your body does all kinds of creepy cramps and all.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more weird stuff happens to you. But it was just this very directed thing I felt run up my legs all the way past my hip. And I'm like, something is running. I mean, as we were talking, something's running its way up my, and it stopped. And I'm like, "Whoa." Now, did that prove anything? Not by a long shot.
Yeah.
Even with them, my friend Sean and Angie there, not by a long shot did it prove anything. It proved something to me, though. I shouldn't be so directed with that, though, too. Something happened.
Yeah.
Anomalous. Like I told you guys earlier, I just consider it something very anomalous. That doesn't prove that there's a ghost there or anything like that, but something strange happened to the point where I stopped and had to take notice of that. And yeah, they were like, you know, Angie, the one girl, she's like, "I actually had it happen on the left side of my body."
Oh.
She felt the same type of thing, you know. She's like, "If this," and we, you know, it wasn't like I was like front loading her. I'm like, "There's something." She's like, "I feel like something's dragging itself, like fingers drag, something's dragging up the side of your body, like very light." I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Yeah, that happened to me in the basement."
Oh.
We were in the upper level of the house, you know, like, or the main floor of the house. So again, does that prove anything? Am I gonna write a book on it? God no. But it was something very peculiar that happened that I can't really explain. I didn't have anything to record it with.
Yeah.
I had nothing nothing was on. It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that I carry with me. It's something that I experienced that I can't explain. Simple as that. I mean, and it's not that exciting really either. You know, that's wasn't like some demon jumped out of a wall and tried to eat me. Or I mean, it was something very subtle that I think. You know, if you're, when you spend years doing it, you start paying attention to every little thing that happens around you. That's, I think it's, with the, especially when you're studying like the paranormal and ghosts and stuff like that. I think it is these subtleties that you have to watch out for, because I don't think it's just going to jump out at you.
No, it's not going to like turn on a neon sign. It's going to be.
No, it's not a Stephen King film or Steven Spielberg film
or a TV show where stuff happens every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Every 10 minutes something's happening.
Yeah, yeah. It don't work that way. I think the reality of it is it's something very subtle, and that's an example of that where it stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
Literally. I'm like, "Whoa, what is that?" So it was an interesting situation. It was cool. Yeah, and it was a nice house too.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons we do this stuff, is to get into these old places.
Yeah. Beautiful house.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they were to the point, they're like, "Look, we've had all kinds of weird stuff, you know, just one thing after another, just stuff being, you know, Sean, the one guy, felt like he was pushed one day, literally just got pushed, you know, nothing major, but he felt something just push him from the back, and it was just driving him nuts. It was, and they were truly creeped out. Like, they didn't understand all the weird stuff that we understand. They just didn't want to deal with this anymore. They had two kids, and they just didn't want to have to deal with the situation. So they were moving out, and they just wanted to bring me in there to more or less, you know, affirm their decision they made.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, something strange happened. Move.
Yeah.
You already moved out. The house was empty. It doesn't matter what I say now. It was an interesting. It was a really, really interesting experience, though. I thought it was compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so,
tell us. I don't know if this is too cliche.
Cliche.
But on your show, what is the most memorable guest? Whether it was a guest that just stared at the microphone and talk, or somebody that you were just like, okay, shut up.
Good question. Oh, man.
So
No. Just give me a second. Well, I mean, there's a lot of debate about it nowadays. We chatted about it. I mean, it's one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee if it was my most memorable one, but it really comes to mind, and it always is one that sticks out. We talked about ITC, like, you know, studying ITC early. When I discovered that in this field, that blew my mind. I was just so, like, building machines to try to contact the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a dork's dream right there. So when I was exposed to those ideas, that really just opened me up to a lot of interesting things. And we talked with a guy named Mark Macy, who was more or less like, he ran worlditc.org, the website. Which was like, you know, kind of the arm of a lot of ITC researchers, which led us into studying Spiracom, which was a device that they say that was built. Now, that's where things get, the waters get murky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I've had, that spun us into some pretty intense debate. Like, we always tried to keep our show, we still do try to keep it, you know, like, argument free. Like, we can have a cool debate. We can talk about ideas, but it shouldn't get...
Yeah.
You know, the fangs shouldn't be sharpened for this. Like, let's be cool. We can have kind of, what are you going to argue about? You don't even know what the hell you're talking about. That's what I say. Like, I hear, I've actually seen, like, paranormal debates at conferences. And, I mean, I won't lie. I've been in the back going, what are you guys arguing about? You got your idea. He has his idea. Either you can really prove it.
Yeah. You're not going to know until you're dead.
Agree to disagree.
Right? So, this, you know, Mark was really cool. He was on our show a bunch of times. He was very nice to let us take, you know, an original master tape of the Spiracom. There was an actual tape that it had, like, some narration and actual excerpts from what they say was the Spiracom machine at work with voices talking. So we were able to curate that and put it on our site, which was an honor for us. Mark was fun, and that spun us into some, as I said, some pretty intense scrutiny from other people. And it was one of the few times where things like me and Doug had to go, hey, guys, chill out. Like, we're not going to be fighting here.
Yeah.
We actually had to bounce people on our show.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like, so that was that's going to make a show memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, but the subject matter was what I was really interested in. Now, does that say that I believe all of it? Am I hook, line, and sinker? No, absolutely not. I found it super interesting to the point where we were trying to, like, do our own type of projects like that, just trying to do ideas. With experimenting with white noise and pink noise and brown noise and all these different types of noise signals, going to flea markets and buying piles of junk radios just so we could just get noise and put them in a circle and put a microphone in there and just see what we could pick up. So that took us down this, you know, from the show, exposed us and sent us down this road of all this interesting, cool stuff we could do. So that's what makes that memorable.
Yeah.
You know, that's that, exactly. And that's where it was, you know, I don't know about you guys, because you do a podcast too here. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now. But that's what I, you know, our biggest thing was, like, we want to use this in the podcast or the show, whatever it was or is now, as an arm of this adventure we're on, as a tool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people enjoy it, and we're happy people enjoy it. We like when people listen to it. But it's also a tool for us too, I think, for us to be exposed to new ideas from people, you know, and digest that. And take that and use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only, you know, it's just the only way I can really explain.
Yeah.
Is how that works in our lives. Is it something that we're going to sell someday? No. some people, you know, you guys are in the podcast business. Yeah. Some of these people, wow, they're intense. Oh, I've met some of these people. Wow. I'm like, we just do it because it's fun.
Yeah.
Right.
We go in our basement. We get some beer. You know? I mean,
Joe doesn't let me drink when we do the show. I did it one time, and it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty.
Listen, kids, alcohol's bad for you, all right?
Yeah.
No, we enjoy it. It does loosen us up. We have fun, you know, and alcohol brings out truth sometimes. Oh, I mean,
and spirits. They say literally, that's why they call it spirits. Yeah. It lowers your veil. Yeah. It opens you up to different things.
I'm not saying that's how you should do it, but it's been like, you know, kind of doing ghostly talk, like Project 3, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of, the idea coming into it when we decided to start doing this thing again was let's loosen ourselves up even more. We don't want to have any restrictions on what we're doing.
Yeah.
We want to enjoy ourselves. So we're going to do it in any capacity we want. We're going to talk about whatever we want. We found ourselves going right into the weeds sometimes with certain conversations.
Yeah.
And we're perfectly cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep it centered around weird stuff. But sometimes I want to talk about I want to talk about Black Sabbath or something for half an hour. You know, deal with it.
Because
it's my show.
You're a rocker from Detroit.
Yeah. I want to talk about something that maybe I'm excited about at the time. And, we'll find a way back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find a way back. We'll get back to the subject. Cool, you know.
Eventually it all comes back.
Yeah, it all comes back.
You go in one rabbit hole, you come out the other.
Well, somebody asked me that years ago. I remember it's on tape somewhere, and it made me laugh. I thought about it the other day, as a matter of fact. I was on some speaker panel at some conference years ago, and they put me on the spot. You know, they're like, so what got you into the paranormal?
Yeah.
And I'm like, first four Black Sabbath albums. And the whole place. And I'm like, and the speaker after, he's like, dude, that's like the smartest answer ever. I'm like, it can't be. He's like, well, I've heard those albums. That would really make you think about what they do, you know?
And don't play them backwards.
Yeah, don't. So, yeah, I mean, that's a very memorable thing that, you know, not because of just the subject itself, but, you know, the subject, but the adventure it took us down now that I'm still kind of playing around with to this day. It's great. It's cool stuff.
So it is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yes, sir.
When does your shows come out?
Oh, whenever we want.
Whenever you want. So,
well, if I may, I'm sorry to make.
No, go ahead.
On the site. I mean, yeah, the new schedule, I say that in quotes very loosely, we kind of do it whenever we want to do it. That was part of what I said a minute ago, like, you know, the way we do the show is just kind of when we want to do it, and we try to keep content coming, but, you know, it isn't a regular thing. I know that's not very good for us. We know that. Like, people are like, what the hell? I'm going to put a show out.
Yeah.
So it's not good for us, like, as far as, like, getting
anticipation
listeners.
Anticipation is great, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, but as far as getting listeners. But the thing I like to stress with that is that on the website, ghostlytalk.com, you know, all of our original archives are there still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we ended the show in 2009 or something, Doug and I agreed that no matter what happens, we're always going to keep the archives for the show up and available for free for people to listen to.
Yeah.
So him and I put aside a bunch of money just to keep something paid for, and we're still doing that to this day. So that's kind of how things ran until we started doing this thing a couple years ago again. So, but you can go to the Ghostly Talk site, and, you know, along with the new shows, you can go and listen to all the really old crusty stuff from back in the day, you know. So it's all free.
Yeah.
It's totally no strings. You don't need a membership. You don't need to give us any blood or sacrifices. It's all totally free for you guys to listen to and hopefully
don't
enjoy.
Don't bring a goat to sacrifice.
No goats.
Yeah. But it's an honor to have you on.
Oh, no. I'm honored to be here. You guys are so cool, man.
When I heard your voice, I'm like, wait a minute.
He just listened to you two days ago.
No, I'm honored. Joe and Jen, thank you. No, you guys are super cool. I am really honored to be here and talk to you guys.
Always
thank
welcome
you.
To stop by.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
or call
we need
us.
To
or
do something
be careful what you wish for.
Hey.
Some beers.
We'll have some beers.
Get together.
We'll drive down to Ohio.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys said you live by Lambertville.
Yeah.
Well, I live 1 mile from the Michigan line.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, you are
and
close.
You know, I'm always in Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm always in Ann Arbor. At the tattoo shops, so
right,
we'll hook up.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we both know Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. No, yeah, we'll keep in contact for sure. No, I mean that. I'm honored. I'm humbled to be here and talk to you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Once again, I want to thank Scott for coming on, and he actually reached out to me, so we're going to be on his show.
Yay.
I don't know when, but we're going to be on his show.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know. another thing, if you guys had any feedback about last week's show and the EVP we
captured. Oh, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, let us know if you guys hear it and what you thought. It was really cool.
I looked at every piece of our equipment. I mean, really, the only thing we have is a computer, the mics, and the recorder.
And the computer wasn't on.
Well, it was on, but it was. I didn't have my hand on it or nothing. And but to hear that was a woman screaming. It was so weird.
When you're talking about somebody being murdered, and it's just unexplainable.
Yeah,
like how, what? And the weird thing is, it was only on your track.
Yeah, it was only on my track. So if it was something in the room or the neighbor with his leaf blower or whatever, it would have been both.
Right. It would, and we both heard it in our.
Headphones,
yeah. But it only came over on Joe's track, which is so cool.
So, all right. So I want to thank you for listening. And remember, like I always say, if the show brings you any kind of joy, please share it with your friends. Get up on our site. Find Jen's page, her Poshmark page. Do all kinds of stuff for us. But the main thing is share our page with one of your friends.
Yeah. We'll talk to you later. Check us out on Twitter.
See you, everybody.
Bye. So you feel